Okay, this is very exciting. I can actually get to come into the Beis Medrash to learn something. I would like to cheat a little bit because this is probably the only time I'm going to get to learn for the next week or so in the Beis Medrash. So instead of just saying a shmooze, I want to give a little introduction to shmoozim before the shmooze. In general, I think we have to spend, Be'ezus Hashem, somehow figure out a way of spending much more time on the guy's understanding the intricacies of what a shmooze is made up of. But we'll try and be dvarim shutim, and we can delve into this much more. Basically, everybody agrees, I'm saying every issue, the purpose of a shmooze is to help guys reach a higher madrega in ruchnius. But there is a basic machlokes between a Chafetz Chaim shmooze and a non-Chafetz Chaim shmooze. In a non-Chafetz Chaim shmooze, they made the following very logical conclusion. They said, people do averis. Now, people do averis even though they know it's wrong. Right, people speak Lashon Hara. That's why we feel so bad on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I know I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. And I feel terrible that I did it. So we do all kinds of things that we know we shouldn't do, and we do it anyway. So apparently, the reason why we do it is even though intellectually we know it's wrong, but we're missing in the emotional commitment. So in the non-Chafetz Chaim world, the purpose of the shmooze was to increase the emotional commitment by giving a very emotional shmooze. Give an emotional shmooze. The person's a good speaker. He gives a beautiful mashal. He gives a dramatize it with a story. And you get very emotional. And it's chas v'shalom. It does work. It is a beautiful thing. Chafetz Chaim, which came from the Salbaka, to not feel that that is the preferable system, not that it doesn't work. Why not? Because they felt that emotions, the person didn't really give you anything you didn't have before, it's just emotions. So emotions don't last so long, right? A person makes an appeal, and you know, it's a known thing. You make an appeal, if you make a speech and then you make the appeal right away, you'll make money. But if you make the appeal and then wait till tomorrow to ask the person for a donation, they won't give you the money anymore. Because the emotion wears off. So if all the speaker did is he got you emotional through beautiful words and mishoim, the danger is you're going to lose it. So the Bai Muslims say you never really totally lose it. It always leaves a roshem. Okay, and we believe that. But still, the Salbaka did not feel that was the ultimate. So the Salbaka approach in saying a Musa Shmuz was not to get emotional as much as to give the listeners something new that they didn't know before, so that they walk away with new information. New information means they keep forever. You could lose it too, but basically an emotional speech, after an hour, you know, you lose the emotion. But an intellectual speech, you got the new information, it stays with you forever. Now, that therefore, the first rule of a Chafetz Chaim shmooze is it's supposed to be a chiddush. Chiddush means, it's another way of saying, it's telling you something you didn't know before. Now, why do I care? But what's the good of a chiddush? We said before that the problem is that we do averis very often because we know it's wrong, but we do it anyway. So our problem is emotion. So how does chiddushim help? So that's a good question. We have to perhaps, I don't know if I got the answer, so we'll skip it. No, but that is a good question, and it does need time to be explained, but now is not the time. But the simple answer is that there are certain chidushim which help the emotions, and those are the best shmuzim. Regretfully, not every shmuz qualifies for that. But for example, if I want to get you to stop smoking, you know already that you shouldn't smoke because you know that people that smoke will have a 10%, whatever, greater chance of getting cancer, whatever the percentage is, in 50 years from now. So I go ahead and I dramatize to you. You know what it means to get cancer. You know how terrible it is. You know when you're going to be 70 years old and you know, okay, no. So I get you emotional on what you knew already. And, you know, that's good. But on the other hand, I didn't tell you anything you didn't know. But if I come in and I say, you know, you're smoking, besides what you know, that smoking has a bigger chance of giving a person cancer in 20 years from now, there's also has immediate effects on your health. It causes you to look, affect your physical appearance. You lose your beauty. You lose your breath. Oh, I never knew that, right? So if you tell a person assuming new information, then you've inspired him to stop smoking by giving him new information, right? So the ultimate shmooze is giving a person new information, a chiddush, which he can use to inspire him, right? That would be, then you kill two birds with one stone. You gave him intellectual information, which is something which will stay forever because he learned something new. And that intellectual information has an emotional effect to it because it has a direct relationship to his behavior. That is the best shmoozing. Regretfully, not every shmooze qualifies for that. Some shmoozing are intellectual and they do not seem to have any ramification. And that's maybe a longer story. I once heard Rav Huttner said that the author said because intellectualism is like a crossword puzzle. And if you miss any piece, you can't still do the rest. So you have to have the whole puzzle. But okay, but that's the ultimate shmooze. So the ultimate shmooze should be a chiddush. Every shmooze has to be a chiddush. Preferably, but not ma'akev, it should be a chiddush which is relevant and inspires, has a meaningful effect on people. Okay. The other thing which Rav Shiva was very big on was that it should be mukhruch. Mukhruch means that since we do want to inspire people, people get more inspired by when it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu than in the Torah, than when it's coming from some rabbi, even if you respect that rabbi. But if it's coming directly from, if you know for sure this is what Hashem is saying, or this is what the Rishonim are saying, it carries more weight, because if it's some rabbi, okay, I can disagree. Maybe, maybe yes, maybe no. But when it's coming from the Torah, that's already much more inspiring. And again, the purpose of a shmooze is to change a person. So mukhruch means that the listener should feel that this is the Torah speaking to me. So this is a little bit of a hard play. We want it to be mukhruch, that it should be 100% shot in the Torah, and yet a chiddush. So it's not always so easy, okay? But well, because if it's a Torah, then everyone can see it. Okay. Also, that's for now. Now there are two types of mukhruch. There is mukhruch where you ask a question, and you can't give any other answer except the answer that you propose. So that's mukhruch. It's not the highest level of mukhruch because theoretically, someone can think of a different answer. Now, no one here, and I say no one here can think of a different answer, but just because no one can think of a different answer does not mean that there's no other answer. Maybe there is another answer, just we don't know it. So that is, that's what we would call that 90% mukhruch. It is yaitzi. It's good enough, good. But it's not the highest level of mukhruch. The highest level of mukhruch is when we don't give an answer, but the question is the answer. Because that is undeniable. Because I say, it says this. Does this make sense? I guess so, because it says it. Is it right? That, you can't argue with that. It says it. It says, is this possible? Yeah, obviously it's possible, because look, it happened. So that is a higher level of mukhruch. Okay, anyway, now let's get to the shmooze. I think this is a very fascinating shmooze. I think it qualifies for some of the things we said. And we'll see. We have a pasuk. Oh, I have to also make one introduction, another bite. Then I'm expecting a very important phone call from my doctor. And if it comes in the middle of the shmooze, I have to apologize. I must take it because I don't know when my surgery is tomorrow. and I have to find out. Okay, anyway, it says, so then, what are you supposed to do? So in Pasuk, the end of Pasuk test, you should add an extra 3 years. This is talking about the Arei Miklat. There were, those who people know, there were 6 Arei Miklat. There were 3 in Eivra Yarden, and there were 3 in Eretz Israel proper. The 3 in Eivra Yarden, Moshe Rabbeinu already designated when he was in, because he was in Eivra Yarden. And the 3 in the Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua, when he conquered Eretz Yisrael, proper designated. So the simple reading of this pasuk is that when Hashem gives you more of Eretz Yisrael, so you make the added 3 to give the total of 6. But the Ramban, for numerous reasons, which is not for now, based on the psukim earlier, really, that the earlier 3 Arei Miklat was talking about the future either also, so they were obviously talking about the 3 in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says that these extra 3 are extra 3 over and beyond the 6 that we know of. This is the Ramban Shita, which is a big chiddush, that there is a special mitzvah that historically there was only 6 Arei Miklat. But that's because historically, Klal Yisrael never really conquered the full Eretz Yisrael beyond a certain amount. Even in the time of Yoshua, they only conquered the Zion Umis, but there was even more that they were part of Eretz Yisrael that to be conquered. And the pasuk here is saying, when you go ahead, Hashem is Yarchiv Hashem Elokechos Kvulcha, which will happen when Kitishmor is a mitzvah, Lavas Hashem, Rechaz Ritrachav, then there's a mitzvah of even 3 more cities. The Ramban says that this is the only mitzvah that we have for this period of time, the extra mitzvah. There's an extra mitzvah of making 3 extra cities. So the Ramban here says, that's what he says here, this Ramban. So read inside quickly. They will conquer the Zion. Shiva means the 7 umas. Asher eftichon b'mitzrayim midbar. Ki hoye gode lefan asher legiyas chuzkav. In other words, Hashem knew that Klai Israel's chuz will be limited. That's as far as their chuz, and will take that. These are the basic 6 Arei Miklat. Avo al shlosha nisharim, but these additional 3 hitting it. In order to get that, you need to conquer more of Eretz Yisrael, and that requires kitishmor as kol mitzvah. That's, you need a tremendous chus that you kept all the mitzvahs lava as Hashem, but on that is bitrachot. That very high madrega, that all Klai Yisrael should keep all the Torah. The ancient mitzvah, and the only mitzvah that's on this is the only mitzvah we find if you for that. Okay. So then, just skipping, he's once again, what does it mean, kitishmor? What does it mean? Kasher tagia skluta to tishmor ko mitzvah. When you keep all the mitzvahs, lava the Shem, ava shlema kayemes la'idam, that's what it means, koa yomim, it means that it's so strong that it'll last forever. She gode the fun of, and it's not like the Ibn Ezra says that it was forever, but Hashem knows it's gonna last forever. Shilotekta oida oidam, that Hashem can be made that you'll never do ever another aveira. So then the Yarkas Gukhin and Koha Amim, Huda Yayma Shir Lahan and Vav, Umawash and the cause of Vav and the Vav Zarecha. Yara Koya Rasina Lavo. Okay. So he says, the Ramban at the end said that this is referring to the same period of time that's referred to later in Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav. So a little bit curious, we have to skip to Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav, where we have a pasuk Umo Hashem Lekev Vavcha, and the Ramban there says that this is talking about Yemos HaMashiach. See, our Ramban didn't say it means Yemos HaMashiach. He didn't say it beferish. But based on this that he says, he sends us to Nitzavim, Lamed Vav, and there he says, that's Yemos Mashiach. So we know that our Ramban means Yemos Mashiach. So in other words, what our Ramban is saying, that Klal Yisrael, Tul Mashiach, only conquered a certain amount of Eretz Yisrael. For that, they only need 6 Arei Miklat, 3 in Eivrei Yarden, 3 in Eretz Yisrael proper. When the Mashiach comes, and because then they'll reach a Madrega of Lava Hashem Velechis Bedrachov, and they'll never do an Aveira again forever, so then they will be Zoicha to conquer greater Chedek in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore for they need another 3 Arei Miklat. That's our Ramban. Now, meanwhile, this Ramban in Lamed is a very fascinating Ramban. The Ramban in Lamed goes off and discusses what's going to be Yemos HaMashiach. This is one of the biggest machlokesim. There's an expression, Harbi Diel Nishbach. It means much ink has been spilt on this Ramban. But not for now. But the Ramban learns, let's just read him a little bit. A person will have a natural desire to do right. You won't have a desire to do what's wrong. That's what the Pasuk means, which our Ramban quoted also. Okay. And I'm skipping a little bit. They would reach the madreg of Adam Arishan called them Achet, Sha'isa Bitivo Masheroi Lasos. He will naturally do what's right, but Yabritsaino Dava Hefko. Whereas right now, we have mixed feelings. We have a desire to do an Avera and a desire to do what's right. But in the most of Mashiach, there'll be no desires. You know, it's getting late. I want to just skip to the last two lines. Vizeb bitul yetzahara, there's no yetzahara. Va'azos alei betivo ma'aseh roi. And the heart will do by teva, naturally, what's right. Okay. So the Ramban Shita is that in Yemos HaMashiach, there's no yetzahara. And people just, like a malach, you just in teva do what's right. It's your nature. A great deal of discussion, and this is like other Marishan called the Machet. There's a tremendous bilpo on this because not everyone agrees that this is a other Mashiach. If it was Adam Arishan called them Achet, so how did Adam, and he had no Yetzahara, so how did he do an Aveira of eat from the Eitz Hadas? Lots of bilpo here. Okay, not for now. When I add the following question, if the Koran's out according to Ramban, this Pasuk, our Pasuk, is talking about Yemos HaMashiach, where Klal Yisrael have absolutely no Yetzirah. Zero. Zilch. The Yetzirah has gotten rid of. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moas Alev, and by Teva, we are like a magnetic pull. We are naturally pulled to do what's right. And we reach the level of, and we become, obviously, in the Vim, Moshe Mashiach, you have a Navi, great Mashiach, greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, I think it says, in the Vua. And it says, Aleches, you have reached the level of Ava, Shlema, full love of Hashem, all Klal Yisrael, and Hashem will be made, it's going to last forever, Ko Ayamim. That's high Madregas. So, what do you need Ari Miklat for? Who's going to, Arei Miklat is only if you kill someone, not be'ones, it's only to kill someone by accident, but you were poshea, you were reckless, you were your fault. Obviously it's a terrible aveira, it is a serious aveira to kill someone b'shoigeg. You know, I don't say it's shoigeg, but it's still a serious aveira. Arei Miklat is a serious punishment for a serious aveira. What, if people are reached, you're talking about Adam Arishan, Kaidem Achet, you have no Yetzirah, in a certain sense, you're greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Yetzirah. You have no Yetzirah. You're like a magnetic pull to do what's right. You love Hashem with your entire heart. You're busy all day in Ruchnias. You're learning Torah Yom V'Laila. You're probably a bigger Talmud Chacham than the Vilna Gaon. Why in the world do you need an Arei Miklat? Is it, right? We'll ask the way the people make fun of Chafetz Chaim Shmuzin. Is it possible that in the Yemos HaMashiach, when someone has no Yetzer Hara and he has full, total love from Hashem and he's a bigger gadol than the Vilna Gaon, he's going to kill someone b'shaygeg? Right? And of course the answer is, right? Apparently yes. So the Shmuz, which is definitely Mukhruch, because there's no Shmuz, it's just reading what it says, is that even in Yemos HaMashiach, even when there is no Yetzer Hara, even when you have total Avas Hashem, even when you're totally, Hashem will be made, a person will never do an Aveira, but accidentally, B'Pshia, a person can do the worst Aveiras possible. A person can kill people. You can kill. There are many different ways of killing. You can kill physically, spiritually, whatever. You can kill someone. That's the Shmuz. The Shmuz is the first part. Is what's 100% mukhrach here is that people accidentally can do the worst Aveiras, even the greatest tzaddik. Now, that's the mukhrach part. Now, there's a second step to a shmuz, which is a very important step. After you find the mukhrach chiddush, you have to understand it. Got to make sense out of it. Now, so let's try and understand this logically. What is the logic? It doesn't make sense. If a person has no yetzer hara, why would he do something wrong? Obviously, this person who killed b'shaygeg did something wrong. He wasn't. If he didn't do anything wrong, he wouldn't be. He'd be Aines Gomer, and he wouldn't be go to Arei Miklat. So the guy has no yetzer hara. Why is he doing something wrong? Obviously, he doesn't want to kill. It's the you know how much the Vilna Gaon Moshe Rabbeinu would not want to kill someone b'shaygeg. It's the most disgusting thought in his life. Why would he kill someone b'shaygeg? Do something wrong, which he shouldn't be doing. So I think the answer, this I can't say is 100% mukhrach, but I think this is the right answer. This is what I would say the other type of mukhrach. There's such a thing called midos. Midos are personality traits. And midos, people act on their midas not because they have a yetzer hara, but because that's your midah. And midas cause people to do things even if they don't want to do it. Right? Rashiva, for example, had a shmuz, that Esav, when Esav went to get the brachas from Yaakov, from Yitzchak. So the pasuk says, "Hakol kol Yaakov, v'yadayim de Esav, Hakol kol Yaakov," because Esav spoke in a not nice way to his father, kum avi. So Rashiva asks the kasha, Esav trying to get the brachas from his father. You think he talked nicely? So he said, of course Esav wanted to talk nicely, but that was a midah. Esav had a personality trait. Some personality traits are inborn, some are taught. Maybe he taught, didn't they? He talked like a truck driver. You talk like a truck driver, you can't help it. You talk like a truck driver. Right? Very often people say things, and, oh, I shouldn't have said that. So why'd you say it? Because that's you. Because you talk. Your personality comes out when you speak. So midos cause a person to do things, even if he doesn't want to do it. Esav probably, before he went to Yaakov, Yitzchak said, I'm going to talk so nice, I'm going to butter him up, I'm going to get those brachas. But b'shas ma'aseh, he couldn't help himself, because that's him. A person can be a tremendous desire to do what's right. I can be but you have midos. And if you don't change your midos, you can be reckless, you can be careless, right? I know someone who fell off a ledge. Did he want to fall off a ledge? He was careless, right? It's a midah. It's not, I want to do it. And you can go ahead and you can chas v'shalom, you can kill someone. You can do the worst aveiros. I think it's a very intellectually eye-opener, and I think it's very inspiring. Because if we don't change our midas, right? Meaning, anyone comes, why do we come to yeshiva? We come to yeshiva to learn because we want to be better. I think everybody wants to be better. But there's a tremendous chiddush here that if you don't change your midas, you can be a Talmud Chacham, you can know Koa Torah Kula, you can be almost a Navi, I assume most Mashiach are Neviim, I don't know for sure, but you can be like a Navi, you can be the, you know, Bucky and Torah Kula, you can have Aves, Hashem, everything, you have no Yetzara, and you'll still do Averis. And that little Averis, big Averis, you'll kill people. Murder. That's not a little Avera, you know? Why? Because you didn't fix your midas. And your midas, you just instinctively do things without thinking. Person, it is midas, something, it almost becomes a reflex. It's a behavior. You can't stop and think about everything you do. When you're walking, you go crazy. Your midas is what tells you, do I pay attention? Am I careful? Am I reckless? Am I slow? Am I gechesbon? How do I talk? How do I speak? What do I say? B'shas maisa, it's almost incontrollable. It's if you train your midos. And that takes special, special work. It takes years of working. Of Israel, you say it's harder to change your midah than learning shas. The only way we know how to change a midah is through Musar. And there's, you know, it's a whole limud, how to change a midah. But I think this is such an inspiring shmooze, but it's inspiring because it teaches us that no matter how big of a Talmud Chacham we're going to become, and no matter how much Avas Hashem we get, and even if we get rid of our whole Yetzahara, and we have like a magnetic pull, we want to do what's right. If we don't fix our midos, we're liable to be nichshol in horrible averis. And also liten esadin, chayiv galus. Chayiv galus is a serious onesh. It's a serious onesh because it's a serious avera. So that the Mr. Haskell of the shmooze is that knowing the importance of working on. First of all, I think there are two Musar Haskels. One is, on a more mukro point, we have to be careful on Shai Gates. We have to pay much more attention to things that we do without realizing it. I mentioned very often, the Malbim says that we say in the Kippur davening, Yugim Omidis, Nosei Chesed, Nosei Ovam V'Pesha V'Chata. The Malbim says, Chato is Shaygate. He says, why does Shaygate come last? Because the worst averis that people do are Shaygate. So that the first basic shmooze is worry about Shaygate. Shaygate, you can kill people by Shaygate. And lo aleinu, you see it happen. People, you know, not, I don't mean car accidents, but that's also true. But in yeshiva, guys say things they don't realize. They can mamish kill somebody with their words and other ways. They can do something. You can stick a dagger in someone's heart. And the second chiddush point is more general, that shogeg stems from a lack of midos, a lack of certain personality traits. A person with proper midos would not misallege because you're careful. That's a midah. It's not that your brain doesn't. It's a reflex that you're paying more attention. So we have to work on midos through learning Musar, and that is the only way, really, to ensure we're not nichshol in averis.